Well, God bless you. Welcome to the Wonderful Words of Life radio program. We are going to be in the Gospel of John in this session, and we're going to be looking at the post-appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection, and we'll go ahead and gather some truth out of this chapter. And also, we're going to be looking at the assurance of salvation that we have through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into the Word of God. Bless you, Father. Thank you today for unction and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God, for the power of your Word. Lord, the anointing that's upon your Word. Lord, just in the speaker, as he speaks, and through the hearer as they hear. And we give you thanks for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John writes, "And many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." The greatest thing that you can do for a sinner is give him a Bible that he can read. Praise God, because it's in the scriptures that he's going to see, he's going to find what is required of him to receive eternal life. Amen. And that's the message in this broadcast today. All right, John chapter 21, we'll begin in verse 1. "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, he showed himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples." Now, we know the Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. Verse 3. "Now, Simon Peter said to them, 'I go fishing.' And they say unto him, 'We also go with you.' They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." Well, praise God. Isn't that interesting? This is an experience that Peter had at the very beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Peter, he's a leader. And so what's he doing? He's not going to send around just spending idle time. No, he's going to do something that's going to keep him busy. And his profession was fishing. Amen. And I like a comment that Albert Robertson gives in his Word Pictures in the New Testament. And it says this. He says, "Peter's proposal was a natural one. He had been a fisherman by practice, and they were probably waiting in Galilee." Not probably, they were waiting in Galilee for the appointed meeting with Christ on the mountain. Andrew and Peter, James and John, were fishermen also. And Peter's proposition met a ready response from them all. Instead of them just sitting around, I tell you what, one thing about the disciples is that they were not idle people. They were busy. Peter was busy, so were James and John. All right, now verse 4. "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any fish or any meat?' And they answered, 'No.' And he said unto them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find.'" I love the way Jesus and the way he says shall. "You shall believe, you shall receive." And he tells them, "Now you do what I tell you to do. You cast that net on the right side." Peter, just like I did at the very beginning of our ministry and our association to one another, "Cast that net and ye shall find." And they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, what better way to grab the disciples' attention than to give them a miracle? That's what the miracle business is all about. To catch people's attention. Hallelujah. So that, Lord, they can have their eyes open. So that they can be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified in Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is such a lesson on God's grace and his sufficiency. It wasn't too many days before that Peter denied Jesus and all the disciples fled from him. But all that's over with. All that's been washed away in the blood of Jesus, just like your former sins, Christian. Amen. You've repented of those sins, and they're all washed away in the blood of Jesus. So why in the world do you want the devil to continue to remind you of things that are already under the blood? Amen. When Satan goes fishing in your mind for something to cause you to have guilt or lose faith, just tell him, hey, that's all been over. That's all over. It's all been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his fisher's coat and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship. Now that other disciples, you know, they were the other six. They came in a little ship. They were not far from land, but it was like, you know, just 250, 300 feet away, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, how did you suppose that Jesus got fish and bread and was already cooking them before they ever dragged the fishes onto shore? Amen. Well, he's the great provider. Amen. I tell you, I love it. Praise God. And then Jesus said to them, this is verse 10, bring the fish which you've caught. And Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. Amen. And yet the net was not broken. Praise God. And then Jesus said to them, come and dine. But none of the disciples asked him who you are because they knew it was the Lord. Now listen to this. Then came Jesus and took the bread and gave them and the fish likewise. Jesus, these men that all betrayed him, he's serving them. I tell you, there's something about the love of God that just wants you to serve men. Jesus says, he is the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a lesson for us today. Now, verse 14 says, now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Now, he was talking about the fish, but he was also talking about those disciples that were around him. Remember that after Peter denied Jesus and he left the palisade and he went out and wept bitterly, where do we see Peter again? We see him with the disciples. They all fled from Jesus. They all departed from him. But then they all came back together. Praise God. Why? Because that was secure. That was security. Familiarity. These guys were brothers. They'd been in the ministry together for 3.5 years. And so Jesus is saying to them, and there's a point in this, do you love me more than these? Oh, I tell you, that's a key. That is a key. That's a key how to be successful in ministry, and that's a key how to be successful in God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. Now, this is important. The love that Jesus is speaking and referring Peter to is the God kind of love, agape love, the selfless kind of love. Amen. Now, I like W.E. Vine's explanation in his dictionary of biblical words, the difference between phileo and agape. And he says this, phileo is never used in a command to men to love God. It's used as a warning, however. Agape is used as a command or as a exhortation to love God. The distinction between the two verbs finds a conspicuous instance in the narrative here in John chapter 21. This context indicates that agape in the first two questions suggests love that values and esteems, an unselfish love that is ready to serve. What was Jesus doing? He was serving the disciples, fish and bread. Amen. The use of phileo in Peter's answer and the Lord's third question conveys the thought of cherishing the object above all else, of manifesting an affection characterized by constancy from the motive of the highest veneration. So what is Jesus asking Peter? These are in my own words. Do you love me with an unselfish love that is ready to serve? Now, is that in your heart? Is that in my heart? It is if we're truly saved, if we're truly born again. That is the love of God that's in our heart. That's the love we need to be paying attention to. Amen. But now listen to Peter's reply again in my own words. Yes, Lord, I am devoted to you above all else. And then what did Jesus say to Peter? Feed my lambs. Peter, out of his own mouth, he says, Lord, you know I am devoted to you above all else. Well, if we are devoted to the Lord above all else, then we're going to do what he commands. And to Peter, he says, now you feed my lambs. All right, let's read on. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Joseph, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said again to him, feed my sheep. Amen. Well, the Lord Jesus and Peter are using the same Greek words. Jesus is referring to agape love, and Peter replies in phileo love. And remember, Peter's reply, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I am devoted to you above every other thing. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Joseph, do you phileo me? Are you devoted to me above all else? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Well, Peter, by the third time, he's grieved. But he wasn't grieved when he wasn't grieved, and he was grieved after he had denied Jesus three times. Now he's grieved, but it's a different kind of grief. Because here Peter is, he's expressing his heart to the Lord and Savior. And Jesus keeps repeating the same question, do you love me? This time, the third time, Jesus uses the word phileo. Well, Jesus already knows the heart of Peter. And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. But this dialogue is getting Peter's attention because it's serious. I mean, when somebody asks you a question three times in a row and you answer him and he asks you again and you answer him, and he asks you again the third time and you answer him, you know, there's a point in all of this. The end of each one of these questions, Jesus commissions Peter to feed my sheep, to take care of my lambs and my sheep. Now, up to this point, Peter has no idea what's going to happen in just a few days, but he realizes it on the day of Pentecost. Peter's going to be anointed by the Spirit of God. Peter's the one that's going to stand up, amen, on the day of Pentecost, and he's going to preach a sermon, and 3,000 people are going to come to the Lord. He's going to be one of those foundation blocks for the church, amen. Those blocks, amen. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, amen, but the church is going to be built on the apostles and prophets, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And all these men are going to need a love that will never fail. And that love that never fails is the agape love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then Jesus says these words to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked where you wouldn't, where you would. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands and another shall gird you and carry you where you did not want to go. And this spake he, signifying by what death, that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Once again, follow me. Those are the last words that we have recorded in the Gospel of John that Jesus said to Peter and said to them all, follow me. That's simple. That's a simple command. That's the same command to you and to me. Follow him. Praise God. Wherever he leads, that's where we go. Amen. And this is our command from our Master, our Savior. And each of us, we have different callings. But to each and every different calling that we have, the command is always the same. Follow me. Praise God. And so here we have the work of the cross is done. Now the crown that Jesus will receive is yet to come. He hasn't ascended to the Father yet. But now his coming, second coming, that's what Jesus promised. If I go away, I will come again. And his coming is going to be a time of definite reward and a fulfillment of God's divine purpose. And it's up to you. You got to be on the right side of the cross. I have made my decision. Amen. The cross is where I died and where I came alive again. Praise God. If you're a sinner and if you have not received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and you're listening to this broadcast, you are on the wrong side of the cross, man. You are with the mockers. You're not with those that have bowed their knee at the foot of the cross to receive Jesus Christ, to lament the fact that he has died for our sins. His blood was shed for our sins. Hallelujah. And that through that precious blood, we have a new life. It's called a new life in Christ. Oh, glory to God. Amen. If you haven't made that decision, you're listening to this broadcast, I tell you right now, just bow your heart before him, repent of sin, and ask Christ to come into your heart and life, and he'll do it. Amen. I shudder to think what your future will be without Christ. But now we want to talk to you. I want to talk to you, all those that are listening to this broadcast, about the proof and assurance of salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And I'm just going to take some time and just read some scripture. Acts 17 verses 28 through 31. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own prophets have said. Paul is speaking to the Greeks. For we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, stone, graven by art, or man's devices. What do you have as your God? What do you have before the God of all the universe, before his Son, Jesus Christ? If you've got anything before him, that's your idol. Amen. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. That's a fact. It may be a mystery, but it is still a fact. Amen. It's not a fairy tale. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you think all the Bible is just a bunch of children's stories, you are so deceived by the devil, by the God of this world. I'm telling you what. What did Paul say? He has given assurance. God has given assurance unto all men in that he raised his Son from the dead. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You want to know about salvation? Grab your Bible and start reading it. God will speak to you through it. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, the brother of Jesus, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, the Apostle Paul, as of one born out of due time. And how did these men come to Christ? Well, I'll tell you exactly how they did it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The heart and the mouth connection is what you receive and how God will grant you eternal life and salvation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. When Jesus' soul went down into hell, and he engaged in mortal combat. I mean, we're talking about awful combat. Awful combat against all the forces of evil. Hallelujah. When his soul went to hell and he stood up, I believe this is what he said. He said, Behold, I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Praise God. Proclaiming victory. Amen. And I could see all those in Upper Sheol, those that were faithful in life and died and waiting for the Messiah to come. I see them all just begin to shout and praise God and cheer. But all those in Lower Sheol, they're all quaking in fear. Why? Because they had opportunity in their earthly life to bow their knee to God Almighty, and they refused to do it. And now they're going to pay the penalty for it throughout all of eternity. What a shame. What a horrid thing to even think about. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We're still talking about the assurance of salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. You have an invitation, sinner. You have an invitation to come be with the Father God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't accept that invitation, you're going to die and go to hell one day. That's just plain, simple Bible fact. Now, notice what else Peter says. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. We are being kept in these bodies, in this earth, by the power of God. But it's through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. The faith that God deposited in our heart the moment that we heard the gospel and our heart was open, that same faith is keeping us, amen, by the power of God to live an abundant life, a life above the sin, above the world and the flesh and the devil. A faith that causes us to have the victory over these things, praise God. Hallelujah. And that only comes through the new birth, being born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, through the new birth, we now have power over sin. Talking about the nature of sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, Romans 6:12 says, Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Amen. Praise God. Listen, we were all down that dead end road that led to death. And Jesus called us back. Now we're on the road to life. We're on our road to heaven, praise God. Why in the world would we want to take a road that we know leads to nowhere? No, sir. I'm staying on this road. I'm staying on this road called salvation. I'm staying on this road called the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm staying on this road, amen, that's going to lead me all the way to glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And I'm not getting off of it. Sinner, you're on the wrong road. You need to get on the right one. Amen. And the Lord Jesus will help you do it. Praise God. Now listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of living in times past and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul just read your mail, sinner. Praise God. He read all of our mail before we came to Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And why is this so? Because Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Praise God. And Lazarus came out of that tomb when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Praise God. Amen. Now, Peter says this in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 31. And he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 2:37-38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be saved. So what are the rules in order to come to Christ? Number one, you've got to accept God's record of his son. You've got to put the word of God in place. You've got to believe the word. Amen. Number two, you've got to believe the word of God. You've got to believe it as it was preached. You've got to take the word of God into your heart. Amen. To allow it then to lead you to full repentance. And then you have to confess. You have to confess the truth and the accuracy of God's word. You have to confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You got to put his word into practice. Amen. By repenting from dead works and having faith towards God. This is called, amen, the recipe for salvation. And sinner, if you're listening to this broadcast, I hope you do it right now. I hope you do it today. Father, we bless you and we thank you for this time in the Word. We give you praise and honor and glory for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, that you would be prepared for heaven? If you're not sure, then I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, I come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I repent and ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I surrender my heart and life to you. By faith, I believe I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you for receiving me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed this prayer and desire to know more about the gift of Christ that the Heavenly Father offers you, then email us at rbtc86@gmail.com. We will be glad to answer your questions promptly and provide you at your request with materials that will help you to grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus. This is Patsy Dunning. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. And let me remind you to tune in to this station at the same time next week to hear more of the wonderful words of life. God bless you, and remember what Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life."